The Tom Woods Show, episode 1278.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
All right, men, you know that for a smooth and comfortable shave, I recommend what? Harry's Razors, of course. And Harry's is offering you a $13 value trial set. Listeners can redeem this offer over at harrys.com/woods. Hi, everybody. Tom Woods here. Today, I'm doing a bit of a review of the show over the past 2.5 years or so. I didn't really observe the 5-year anniversary of the show at the end of September 2018, but we have passed 5 years of doing this. And back on episode 657, I did kind of a review of what I'd done up to that point, because when you have 657 episodes, although I know I have many, many dear and loyal folks out there who listen to every single episode I put out, that's not true of everybody. Shame, shame. But also people came to the show later on and hadn't heard some of the earlier ones. So there were some real gems that I was afraid were being overlooked. So I did an episode about episodes, taking a page from Kramer's coffee table book about coffee tables. So that was episode 657 that I used to, not so much to point out what I thought were the best episodes, although in some cases they were some of the best episodes, but rather just to point out episodes that I wouldn't want people to miss. That, as I say, they may not be objectively the best ones, but they're going to have something about them that really needs to be heard. So what we'll do is, on this show notes page, tomwoods.com/1278, I'll list and link to all the episodes that I mention today. It's going to be quite a few. And if you'd like to listen to them, that's an easy way to do so. Now, I do need to remind you that I am aware that you can only access, if you're listening on iTunes, the past 301 episodes at any given time. And unfortunately, that is a limitation of iTunes. I have no control over that. The way some podcasters have dealt with that is they'll take every 300 episodes, they'll in effect make a new show out of it. You know, they would do like the Tom Woods Show, you know, archive number one. And then for the next 300 episodes, they do archive number two, so that you can subscribe to it on iTunes, even though there won't be any more added, but it's an easy way for you to be able to listen through iTunes to those earlier episodes. So I may do that. I would have to find somebody who wants to do that for me, because that just sounds like a real headache figuring that out and doing it. But at some point, I'll set that up that way. But in the meantime, if you want to listen to earlier episodes, and there are many, many gems in these earlier episodes, then I recommend using the page you should be checking anyway. Not so much tomwoods.com/podcasts, but rather tomwoods.com/episodes. Because there, you don't have to go from page to page to page to page, all on one page. You have links to every episode going all the way back to episode number one. All right, I'm not going to spend that much time on any one episode because I got a lot to do, but I want to just go over some episodes that I think you'll enjoy and, you know, that I've got some interesting recollections about, I hope, and you may not have known about. Like, for example, I get people all the time saying, when are you going to have Jordan Peterson on? I've actually had Jordan Peterson on twice, but people don't know that. He's a little hard to track down as he's on a world tour at the moment. But anyway, let's start with episode 671, because this is a recording of my remarks to the Libertarian Party's National Convention in 2016. So they invited me to come speak to the convention at a big luncheon event that was packed, hundreds of people, and it was very well received. And I just said, we have to be libertarians and let the chips fall where they may. So somebody obviously fell down on the job there, inviting me. I mean, because I've spoken at many state chapters and everybody's very favorable. But it was the following year that I started having these complaints coming from the chairman of the party that I was a bad guy and, you know, I'm some kind of crazy right-wing extremist or whatever the heck the thing was. So I thought, okay, but you did invite me to speak at your national convention. So as they say, there's that. But I think you might like it. The trouble is there was no professional audio equipment. And so I really need to just go ahead and buy my own portable thing. I mean, you can do it into a smartphone, but, you know, just splurge a little bit. You can get a little system that is portable for situations like this where I am not confident that it'll be professionally recorded. But all the same, you can more or less make it out. And I think it's pretty good statement summary of how I feel about what Libertarian Party ought to be doing. So then let's go to 676, just because a lot of you folks like Jonathan Haidt, the author of The Righteous Mind. And I simply want you to know that I have interviewed him. So you don't have to long for that day. It has already arrived. In fact, it came over 2 years ago. So you'll want to check that out. Jonathan Haidt has helped a lot of people understand how people are and are not persuaded of things. So then I want to go to episode 680. Now here I'm talking about the problems with conservatives. And I say this as an ex-conservative myself. This is one of my solo episodes. I get a lot of people saying that they enjoy when I just talk sometimes without a guest. And here I just had it up to here with conservatives and the conservative movement, so-called. And so I just let loose on that. So 680, I think you'll like, if you like that sort of thing. But now here's one I really would not want to have overlooked. Back in the summer of 2016, I talked to a guy named Jim Hale, H-A-L-E. Jim had been media relations director for the Committee for the Liberation of Iraq. So you can already tell what that kind of propaganda organization is like. It was a Bill Kristol outfit, and he became a non-interventionist and a Ron Paul supporter. So I thought, I got to talk to that guy. And he wrote to me to tell me about this. And so I basically got him first. It was an exclusive on my show. This was where he announced to the world that he had had a change of heart. And he said some very nice things to me. I owe you a big debt, things like that. Very, very nice. And he listens to the podcast. So, you know, things like that happen, and it's great. All right, let's move on here. What else we got? Yeah, see, this one's kind of along the same line. You know, there was a time when I focused, not all, but let's say more of my fire on the neocons. Now it's just, I feel like I've said everything I can say about the neocons. They still drive me crazy once in a while, but they're not as in the saddle, let's say, as they used to be, even though Trump has inexplicably surrounded himself with them in a lot of cases. But they're not, they don't have the kind of confidence they used to have. So I'm not somebody who would deny that you got to kick a man when he's down. I think you do. When else are you going to kick him? As Patrick Burns says, if you don't kick a man when he's down, when else are you going to kick him? So it's not so much that I feel sorry for them. It's that they're not as relevant to the conversation anymore. They haven't gotten the major war they've wanted, even though they've wanted it for a solid 10 years or more. But anyway, episode 727 is called Ex-Neocon, A Refugee from Neoconservatism on His Departure. That's an interview with Scott McConnell, who went over and was one of the early figures in the creation of the American Conservative magazine. So he's got a really interesting story. He moved in neoconservative circles. So it cost him very dearly in a lot of ways in terms of his social life and his prominence, his positioning. You know, he had actually done some things. I think he'd been with the New York Post and, you know, some reasonably established outfits out there. And now he is not welcome in these places any longer. So it's an interesting story. And he's a courageous guy. But if you haven't heard 729 and you just want a few laughs, then you really need to hear episode 729. Because in the second half of that episode, I take on a telephone scammer. I had gotten one of these telephone messages saying that the IRS was taking me to court over unpaid taxes. Of course, the IRS does not take you to court over unpaid taxes, and they don't leave you the details of your case on an answering machine, you know, on a voicemail. Much less is it the case that you call the number they leave you and they simply answer the phone, "Hello, IRS." That is not how it works. But I did that. I knew, obviously, it was a scam. But I thought, what the heck? I want to hear these people. Let's see what they're going to try to do to me. So I was doing that in the car. And then I realized, wait a minute. I host a podcast. And I have the technology to record both sides of a conversation. So I'm going to record this. And we're going to make an episode out of it. And sure enough, so I played along for a long time. And with entertaining results, let's say. Entertaining results. Everybody loved that episode. And then in the months that followed, there was a huge bust of these people. They were from India, and they were telling people that they owed back taxes, and they were scamming a lot of older folks. There's no way anybody who's even remotely alert would have fallen for the scam. They were asking you to pay your unpaid taxes by means of Target gift cards. I mean, if that doesn't alert you that something's a little bit fishy, I don't know what would. But I started getting emails and tweets from people all over the place saying, hey, do you think you had a hand in bringing these people down? I don't know, but it sure was fun playing around with them. So they're gone now, unfortunately. The telephone number that I give out, I actually gave out their telephone number on the episode because, of course, what they're doing is evil, and I wanted to encourage my folks to call them. All right, now we move on to one of my favorite writers and people of all time, and he is grossly and unjustly and just depressingly underrated and unknown. And that's the great Bill Kaufman, who gave the best speech at Ron Paul's rally for the Republic, the best. He's a great, brilliant writer. He's not a libertarian, but he's not, you know, as I've said in a couple of recent interviews, he's kind of unclassifiable, but I love him. He has an America First streak in him. He's got an independent streak in him. He favors localism over empire. You know, he speaks my language. And we did an episode called America First. It's history, culture, and politics. And Bill's just the best. He's one of, I would say, there are probably five people whose writing I truly envy. And I would say on that list is probably Thomas Sowell, Bill Kaufman, Pat Buchanan. You do not want to be on the wrong side of Pat Buchanan, that's for sure. Thomas Fleming, not the historian who wrote the book on World War I, but the Thomas Fleming, formerly of Chronicles magazine. And then maybe Sam Francis. I mean, whether you agree with his politics or not is totally irrelevant to what I'm saying. Is he a good writer? And man, was he a good writer. So good writers I can really appreciate. And those are people I will never be able to match in terms of prose, never. So Bill's among them, and you'll just love Bill. Impossible not to love him. So let's see, what else we got here? 740, don't worry, it'll go faster than this. I started off with a lot of the earlier episodes in this group. But Kosovo, we did an episode on Kosovo, and I pitched it as Kosovo, a military intervention Bernie Sanders supported. So this is from 1999, and we were told that, you know, hundreds of thousands of Albanian Muslims had probably been murdered and things like that. And then it turned out, you'll never guess, this was a made-up number. And you'll also never guess that the true figure was about 1% of the figures we'd been given, if even that. And it actually included deaths on both sides of what was obviously a civil war. So it was kind of a problem. That was one of these cases where the Republicans, well, not John McCain, he favored every war there was, but Republicans like Sean Hannity were against intervention because Clinton was doing it. So, you know, and then 4 years later, they want a much, much worse intervention in Iraq. So that's these people for you. But I had never done an episode on that topic, and I thought it needed to be done. I also covered a bit in my book, 33 Questions About American History You're Not Supposed to Ask. That book is one of the top three, I would say, of the ones I've written. I think that one, Real Dissent, and The Church and the Market are the best ones that I've written. That's just my personal opinion, but I think they read the best, and they're just packed with information. There's no fluff. You know, I've had people who have criticisms of me, but fluff in my books is not one of them. Well, now we get to episodes 773 and 800, and those are my conversations with Jordan Peterson. Now, they're very much worth listening to, but you can also get the transcripts of those conversations. First, if you're a supporting listener of the show, which you can do at supportinglisteners.com, but also I just released another free ebook. And this one is called Think for Yourself, and the subtitle is Professors Who Resisted the Mob Tell Their Stories. And of course, how could you not include Jordan Peterson in that collection? So 773 is our discussion of what was going on with him at the end of 2016, where he's dealing with the whole gender pronouns controversy. But obviously, as he noted at the time, there was a heck of a lot more going on than just pronouns, you know, as anyone could see. So we talked about that, and it was a very nice conversation. I was just finding out about him. It had really only just blown up right around that time. And then he had indicated his interest in coming back on to talk about something else. So that's episode 800. And episode 800, what I did was I thought, this guy is very, very accomplished, and yet all he is allowed to talk about these days is gender pronouns. And that just doesn't seem right. Why can't we highlight some of his actual work? What are some of his real contributions? So I brought him on, and I more or less told him, we're going to talk about anything in the world except pronouns in this discussion. I want to talk about what you do for a living, and not just your research papers, but also the kinds of things you do for the general public to help them improve their lives. So we talked about his self-authoring program and the unbelievable results it's had for people all over the world in many different settings who have done this. And he explains the logic behind his past, present, and future authoring programs. It's very persuasive, and it's going to make you want to do these programs yourself. And they don't have to take forever. He says it's better to do a bad job of it than not to do it at all. And he says if the amount of work you're putting into it is keeping you from doing it, then you're doing it too well. Do it worse. That's actually how he said it. Better to do it badly than not to do it, because you will find that your quality of life will be improved. Your health will be improved. I mean, it's really an amazing program. And so we take some time to talk about it. And then at the end, I said, now, wasn't it nice to be able to talk about this for a change? Isn't it pleasant and cathartic? And he said, you know, it really was. It's kind of a relief to be back talking about these things again. So I did that little service for Jordan Peterson. Okay, I skipped over episode 797 because I wanted to do the two Jordan Peterson ones together. But this one is really not to be missed. Fidel Castro had recently died, so I invited Humberto Fontova on, who's written a couple of books on Cuba. He's written on Castro, and he's written on Che Guevara. So I had him on, and I want to know what his response was to people who say, well, maybe you don't like some of Castro's methods, but you can't deny that he made people literate and so on and on. And he went on to say, Fontova, that basically what was happening was, if you look at a lot of statistics before Castro, they're already pretty strong and growing. So you have trends that were going to continue anyway, regardless. But then he shows areas where there was outright retrogression. So it's really, really, you're going to be stunned at what a critique of Castro this is. So the episode is called The Real Fidel Castro, Not the Cutesy One Who Made Everyone Literate. All right, now we're going to go skip way ahead. See all the fun stuff you have ahead of you? Aren't you glad you have that long drive coming up? Just picking it out because it could easily get lost in the shuffle, Kevin Flanagan came on to discuss anarchism in Ireland, the history nobody knows. Now, that's some good stuff, my friends. And then after that, I want to go to 902, and it's simply called Featuring Guest Host Michael Malice. The only person who's ever guest hosted the Tom Woods Show is Michael Malice. And when he did it, we kind of played it up like I was going to take the day off and Michael Malice was going to sit in as the guest host. But guess who his guest was? Of course, it was me. I was the guest on that episode. And he interviewed me and he asked me interesting questions, not the same old, what do you think the Fed is doing about such and such? It was some really interesting, penetrating questions. And he did the whole thing. He did the Harry's Razor ad read. He introduced me, and of course, in typical Michael Malice troll style, every single aspect of that introduction was wrong in some way. So just the sort of thing that would make me crazy, he went ahead and did. And so then in the next episode, we flipped the cameras around, and I asked him some listener-supplied questions, because remember, this is now two times that on the Contra Cruise, in the Freedom Feud game that we played, the number one answer in our survey of who is the all-time best guest on the Tom Woods Show was Michael Malice. So if you're a new listener and you haven't yet heard of Michael Malice, you're in for a real treat. Well, episode 903 is when I ask him some interesting questions, and we called it Go Ask Malice, which is a kind of clever title if you get the reference. Then a particularly happy moment for me was episode 905, where I talked to Pat Buchanan, and we talked about his new memoir of the Nixon years. And I came close to getting him to admit that it's at least conceivable he could have been wrong about the Vietnam War, that maybe things would have turned out better if that war hadn't been waged. I mean, he practically concedes that. He's not saying that he has regrets or anything, but rather that he could see the logic of it. He could see that there's a world in which not doing this might have wound up with better results than a world in which we did do it. And we, meaning they, of course. I hate to say we. So that's a milestone. That's a moment there, because Pat, unfortunately, had a major hand in, you know, helping formulate those policies in the sense that he really, I think, in the speech writing and in his counsel to Nixon, you know, really pushed all full steam ahead on it. So to get him to make a concession like that is no small thing. All right, let's take a quick break. I want to say a little something about my friends over at Harry's Razors. A lot of people just associate me with Harry's Razors these days. And on the Contra Cruise, there were a lot of references to that and some of the other products I endorse. It's coming up on Christmas very soon, so I'll be talking to you about wonderful Christmas gifts that, for example, I've given thanks to Harry's. I also want to note that in addition to having great razors and great blades, it gives you a nice close shave. They also have bar soap that I have been using in the shower just to test it out, and it lathers up really well. The nice thing about it is at the end, you don't smell like a daisy in a meadow. You smell like a man, and there's something to be said for that. So that just goes to show they have a whole line of products for men for hygiene and grooming that you definitely want to check out, because what they basically do is focus on the quality of the blades. That's the thing. They're not trying to put an MP3 player in the blade. They just want to make sure that what you have is sharp and durable and just made out of really tough steel. So that's why they bought a factory that's been making some of the highest quality blades in the world for over 95 years. And they're able to offer their blades to you at a price much lower than the leading brand, just $2 per blade compared to $4 or more. And if you don't love your shave, just let them know within 30 days. They'll give you a full refund, but you won't. Well, they've got a trial offer that you should definitely check out. It comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave: the weighted ergonomic handle, the 5-blade razor with the lubricating strip and trimmer blade, a rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover to keep your blade safe and secure when you're traveling. Well, listeners of my show can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/woods. Make sure you go to harrys.com/woods to redeem your offer and let them know I sent you to help support the show. All right, let's see. Where are we? 910. Is an episode I like, just because it's Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, who had been the chief of staff to Colin Powell. So he's a big deal. And I had him on just to talk about the American Empire, past, present, and future. And I recall it was a good episode. I'm not saying it's the best episode in the history of the world, although maybe it was. I just don't remember it in much detail. But just the fact that I talked to Wilkerson, I think, is a big deal. It's worth listening to. Then episode 911. This is a recording of me at the Yale Political Union arguing in favor of a resolution supporting the secession, or at least the idea of the right of secession, of American states. Now, that's not super popular at Yale. I mean, these are kids who are being raised to run the world and to run America, so they don't want it to be broken up into dinky little pieces. They want to rule the whole thing. So secession is not exactly up their alley. However, I did manage to win. I got my resolution to pass, which was something else. But in this, what you hear me doing is not so much giving my opening statement, I don't think, but rather it's me answering critics, because that's the way the Yale Political Union works. After I give my presentation, students come up and give their perspectives on what I've said, pro and con. And then at the end, I get to respond to everything they said. And man, did I savor that. And I had this audience eating out of the palm of my hand. I had them laughing at my jokes, cheering. You know, for a guy who's taking a highly, highly unpopular position, that's no small feat. So if you miss that, I think you'd really, really get a kick of it. And there's one student in particular who got up and said that the ideas of secession and decentralization were all about slavery. And I mean, I just let him have it. You're just going to love it. You're just going to love my response to that. Absolutely merciless while still having a smile on my face. Episode 913, I want to bring to your attention just because a lot of people benefited from it. It's Chris Voss, Christopher Voss, V-O-S-S, who is the author of a great book called Never Split the Difference. And he was a professional hostage negotiator. And so the episode was what you can learn about negotiating from a hostage negotiator. And it's just fantastic stuff. And then he and I did a mock negotiation where I pretended to be a hostage taker with captives. And he was trying to talk me outside and stuff. It's really worth listening to. And definitely that's a book you want. That's a book you want. I've had so many people come to me and say that book is worth reading. Now, you remember I mentioned a little while ago that I did a fun thing over the phone with some telephone scammers? Well, that's why I was particularly pleased to learn of the Jolly Roger Telephone Company. It's a fellow named Roger Anderson, who's been in the telephone industry. And he came up with this idea of designing reasonably intelligent bots that can keep a telemarketer on the phone and tied up in knots for a while. And the idea is that when you get called by a telemarketer, you just switch on the Jolly Roger Telephone Company bot. And you have several bots to choose from, like a harried housewife or an angry old man and whatever. It's a very, very interesting product, and it's gotten better over time. They've gotten the bots to be smarter, and the system will record the exchange. So this could even happen. You could even have a phone where, like, for example, with my I used to have a telephone, a landline phone, just for faxing. So nobody knew the number. So anytime it rang, I knew it was either a wrong number or a telemarketer. That was just of necessity. That's what it had to be. So you could hook up the Jolly Roger telephone service to answer all the calls on that line because you know there's no real person calling you on it. And then you could come home and you'd have, you know, one or two recordings waiting for you that you could listen to of the telemarketer getting flustered. That's a lot of fun. So I think you'll enjoy that conversation. I don't know if he's a libertarian or not, but we had a really nice time talking. Then 973 is the second time I talked to Glenn Jacobs, the WWE's wrestler Kane. And I'm particularly fond of this episode because, of course, I'm sure most of you know that he was indeed elected. He ran for mayor of Knox County, and he was elected this year. And so I asked him, what was it that made him decide to jump into politics? And he said, Tom Woods made him decide to do that. He said it was an argument I had made in our previous podcast conversation, and it really got him to thinking, and so then he decided to do it. So now I know some of you anti-politics people are probably upset at me for that, but well, there it is. I had kind of thought, by the way, that if he continued to rise through the ranks politically, that he could conceivably be a really formidable presidential candidate because he would have a non-interventionist foreign policy, but who in his right mind is going to call Glenn Jacobs a wimp? You know, who would dare do that? Wouldn't that be great? Unfortunately, he was born in Spain, so he's not a natural-born citizen. So looks like we may have to amend the Constitution just for Glenn Jacobs. And we can say we're doing it because we're against xenophobia, whatever we need to say to get it done. Anyway, I don't know if he wants to do that. It would sure be entertaining for us to watch, that's for sure. Then this one I think this is one of the kind of episode people would skip, and you don't realize what you're missing with an episode like this. Episode 1011. It's not a bonus episode. It was an episode I did with Bob Bly, who is referred to by McGraw-Hill as America's best copywriter. Now, when I say copywriter, a lot of my folks who don't know what copywriting is, they think I'm talking about intellectual property, like he copyrights things. But there isn't really a person who copyrights things. Copywriter is spelled C-O-P-Y-W-R-I-T-E-R. It means he writes copy, writes advertising copy. And he's an email marketer. He does marketing and advertising in a lot of different fields. And I've hired him to do a major project for me because even though I'm not terrible at those things, I'm not the world's foremost expert. I don't have McGraw-Hill calling me America's best. So I hired him and he's, you know, he always does great work. And I read his emails. If I see an email come in with the name Bob Bly, I would be an idiot not to open it. Okay, yeah, it takes a minute out of my day. But if I can't spare a minute to read a Bob Bly email, then it means I'm not interested in making myself better. And I can learn a ton from Bob. So I had him on just to talk in general about, you know, I mean, this guy has had tremendous success, both in internet marketing and as a copywriter and an advertising guy. And so we talked a lot about that. And we talked about copywriting as a profession. If you have that skill, if you can write good copy, the way I actually titled the episode was "A Skill to Keep You Out of the Poorhouse, A Conversation with Bob Bly." It will get you thinking, especially if you're young, the young people listening to me, what could it hurt in your spare time to read a few books about copywriting? What could it hurt? To have that skill, it's not like you're ever going to regret having that skill. It can help you in many aspects of your life, in any types of persuasive writing you're trying to do. It's not just if you go into advertising explicitly or copywriting, but it will certainly make you think about the possibility of copywriting as a profession. You can do it incredibly well with it if you're good at it. And to get good at it, you got to just do it. You got to read the experts, as with anything. And then I asked Bob for a strategy. How do you build up a portfolio if you've never started to do this? Who would hire you? Who would hire you if you have no track record? How do you get started? How do you build up that portfolio? All that stuff is in episode 1011. You will thank me. All right. Episode 1042. I don't remember the details of this one very clearly, but Joanne Cavallo is the head of the Italian department at Columbia University. So that alone is a novelty because she's a big, big Misesian libertarian, Mises Institute supporter, and Ron Paul supporter. And so she shared her story with me, and I thought that was very much worth telling. All right, episode 1064, for all you cryptocurrency people, especially people who are new listeners, you'll enjoy this one because this is a debate over Bitcoin versus Bitcoin Cash. Now, if you have no idea what this is, then just hang on a second. I'll get to some other episodes that you will like. But this one, this is very interesting because this is a debate that has been extremely acrimonious. And the two debaters, Jameson Lopp and Roger Ver, were very cordial with each other. And there was a lot of light shed on the subject. A lot of times it's more heat than light. This was a lot of light. And everybody raved about this episode. Because if you look at people arguing about this on Twitter, let's say, it is more vicious than SJWs versus libertarians. It is really, really contentious. So I was really glad that we had that nice conversation. So check that baby out. Then 1104 is my summary of what I said at the University of California at Santa Barbara earlier this year when I went to give a talk on the crimes of communism. Well, there wasn't a recording and I didn't record it, but nevertheless, you'll get the pithy meat of what it was that I said, and I think you'll find it pretty interesting. So then 1131, a lot of times people have trouble responding to protectionism because they say, well, isn't it true that a lot of Americans are struggling because of cheap goods from China or whatever it is? And that's why I decided to have a debate on that subject. So we had a debate on Trump's tariffs between Gene Epstein, formerly of Barron's, now of the Soho Forum, and Dan McCarthy, who is editor-at-large of the American Conservative. And it was a great episode. And again, the two of them are friends, entirely cordial. There was no nastiness. It was just people with some knowledge putting that knowledge on display for the benefit of the rest of us. Then 1156 is a Jeff Deist episode that you just have to take my word for, that you got to listen to. That's all I'm saying. It's going to be in the list. In the list, baby. All right, 1181, we had Larry Correa on. And Larry's been on a couple of times, once on guns, and then once more in his actual field, although guns is also a field of his, I suppose, but sci-fi and fantasy. He was talking about the SJW infiltration there, where they're sucking all the life out of that. We have to make sure that these things conform to the bean-counting affirmative action world and spread particular messages and things like that. So we had a great conversation about that. He's got a great personality. He's nothing boring about Larry Correa. So I'm glad people brought him to my attention. I wouldn't have known about him otherwise. Then, just because I think you might enjoy it, 1186 is a reproduction of an interview I did on another podcast, and there was a lightning round where they just gave me a bunch of quick objections to libertarianism or libertarian questions, and I just ran through them really fast, and I was pretty satisfied with how my answers came out, so I hope you'll enjoy that also. Then 1190 is my speech to the Libertarian Party Mises Caucus. They had an event that was held the same weekend as the Libertarian Convention this year, 2018. Then I would recommend my conversation with Tim Moen, who heads the Libertarian Party of Canada. And he's great. I agree with him, I would say, across the board, and I like his strategic vision. And plus, he's pro-Woods, unlike some people. So that's fun. All right, almost finished. Episode 1234, I was pretty happy with, because I was really, really disturbed by that New York Times editorial by that anonymous figure inside the White House saying that there is a resistance movement going on within the foreign policy-making establishment. That, look, if it looks like Trump is trying to do one thing, you know, to, let's say, ease tensions, but on the other hand, it seems like tensions are being ramped up. Well, don't worry, that's us on the job. How creepy. And all the never-Trumpers are going, yeah, isn't that great? Well, not all of them. And there were a couple honest enough to say that's pretty creepy. But geez, like, that's the one thing about Trump you'd want to encourage. And as usual with the establishment, the thing that you would want to encourage, you know, is like a stake through the heart of those people. So I had Phil Giraldi, who is a longtime CIA officer, on to give his thoughts about that situation. Then 1242, see, this was a solo episode that I thought more people would, I think I just titled it badly, but I thought more people would listen to. So this is your assignment. Go listen to it. It's one of my solo episodes where I take an article, or in this case, a video, and I just smack it down, and people tell me this is what they enjoy listening to. Well, you got one. It's episode 1242. It was some ridiculous video. I forget what source it was from. And it's a guy making claims about libertarianism, and you'll never guess, he doesn't really know anything about it. Every now and again, you get somebody who knows what he's talking about. Like, let's say, Brian Kaplan. He knows a pretty good amount about Austrian economics. So when he has criticisms, I listen. But this is just, you know, silliness, and some of it's typical silliness, some of it's a brand new silliness. And so I had fun going through it and giving my answers. So that's 1242. Without a doubt, 1244, Michael Rechtenwald. Remember him from NYU? That one you cannot miss. The episode is called The Professor Everybody Shuns. What he went through at NYU, even though he was a lifelong Marxist, as soon as he began to say anything that was slightly deviating from the party line, man, did he pay a price. He paid a heavy, heavy price. So that one you just have to hear. And now he's more or less in our camp. It's absolutely amazing. Then here's an episode where I knew a lot of people would skip over it. And it really made me unhappy, because I thought it's one of these episodes that if I made you listen to it, then afterward you'd say, I'm glad I listened to it. But there's no way to know ahead of time that you wanted to listen to it. So that's 1247. I had the lead singer, Rick DeJesus, lead singer of a band called Adelita's Way, on my show. And they've actually had some reasonable chart success. And you look up their songs on YouTube and they're in the millions of views. And he talked about his transition of his band away from a major label. They've been signed by two major labels. And he found that the labels really were absorbing the lion's share of the money to an absurd and unreasonable degree. And now you may say, well, that's arbitrary. How could he know if it's absurd and unreasonable unless he tries to substitute his own labors for the function of the label? Well, that's precisely what he did, is he took the band off the label, used crowdfunding, took over the marketing of the band, took over the scheduling of and booking of the shows, and they're doing great. They're prospering. You know, they're not broke anymore. And it was just a great, great story. And it turns out the drummer listens to the Tom Woods Show, and he's got the rest of them listening to it. So if I had been in town, if I hadn't been at the Mises Institute, I was going to go see them in Orlando. They said, you know, come on backstage, and it'll be fun. But maybe next time. Two more I want to tell you about. Episode 1263 is my conversation with Matt Welch, editor-at-large of Reason Magazine. And that is the culmination of a trilogy. That is the final episode, so to speak. It began with an appearance that Matt and I made on You're Welcome with Michael Malice. And Michael wanted to bring us together because, as you may know, there are some divisions in the libertarian world. And Michael thought that it was silly that there should be, particularly there should be any difficulty between Matt Welch and me. Well, I don't think Matt had ever written anything about me, and I'd never written anything about him. But still, we represented different, I hate the word factions, but you know what I'm talking about. And he wanted to just bring us together. He said, look, I know both you guys. You're both good guys. So let's, you know, let's open the lines of communication here. So that's what we did. And it ended up being very productive and enjoyable. And on that episode, Matt and I agreed that we would host each other on each other's programs. So I was on Reason TV. So that's part two of this trilogy. And then I invited Matt onto my program, and that's part three. So, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're best friends forever or anything, but, you know, better to have communication going on than not. On the show notes page for that one, tomwoods.com/1263, I link to all three things, the my episode, then my Reason TV thing, and then the appearance on You're Welcome. So anyway, Michael Malice deserves the Nobel Peace Prize is what people were saying in the YouTube comments of the Reason TV episode. So a lot of fun and, you know, friendly and nice. So that's a good thing to see. And then finally, I guess the last one I bring to your attention is 1271. Are Democrats and left liberals smarter than you? What I mean by that is that a lot of times you'll say, hey, look at all the bias. All these professors are all liberals. And the answer you'll get is, well, that's because they're smart. And smart people would be liberals. You think, you've got to be kidding me. Is that really... You can look at these people and think, wow, they're just so brilliant. They've just brought together all the wisdom of the ages. You say that looking at the typical professor? Oh my gosh. Whereas I look at the political class, the academic class, the entertainment people, and I just feel like this is the most ignorant cultural elite ever. So when I hear a statement like that, it makes me crazy. So I did an episode where I thought out loud about why would it be that, let's say, in academia, there would be this lopsided result of so many people who disagree with us are dominating the thing. Is that because we're just not smart enough and they're smarter than we are? So I really took all that on, and I think you'll get a kick out of that one. So almost finished for today. There's one other thing I want to tell you about, but let me just point out that at tomwoods.com/1278, I will be linking to everything I just discussed with you, all those episodes. That'll be an easy way that you can listen to them. And I think you're going to like them. I don't think I've steered you wrong on any of these. I do want to tell you about this is a kind of a surprising topic, but I want to tell you about a website that another one of my listeners created, and it's called thetennispeople.com. And it's a place for recreational tennis players to find information about tennis playing opportunities in their area, including USTA leagues. TheTennisPeople.com also offers players a place to find reviews on all their apparel, accessories, and equipment needs. The Tennis People want to save you time researching so you have more time to enjoy yourself out on the courts. So check that out over at TheTennisPeople.com. Get yourself nice publicity for your website, as well as other very helpful bonuses from me when you get your hosting through my link. Details are over at tomwoods.com/publicity. I got a juicy one coming up for you tomorrow. I'll just leave it at that. But, you know, when is it not juicy? You know, it's almost silly for me even to say that. But I'm telling you, though, this one, you'll say, has particular juice to it. And you'll just have to find out what 1279 is all about tomorrow. See you then.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.